You're with Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, we're into our number three of today's extravaganza on TNT Radio, Locked and Loaded show with me, your host, Rick Munn. Love me or hate me, I'm here and you're listening to me, so it can't be that bad. I've been joined earlier on by Kevin Lochray from Australia, and also the ghost of Yuri Bezmenov was on in the last hour. We were talking about the crisis that is currently enveloping the United Kingdom, or should I say one of many crises in the shape and form of the energy price cap that was continuing to rise, the cost of living that is continuing to rise, and the very dangerous effects of inflation coupled with not inflation busting pay rises if you're lucky enough to get one. It's all lining up for some pain and sorrow for very, very many people in the United Kingdom come this winter, and Ireland and Germany and France and Italy and Sweden and Spain and everywhere else. Whew. Before I welcome my next guest to take the stand and testify to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help him God, I want to look at some of the titbits that are bubbling up to the surface of the miry cesspit known as mainstream media today. Before we launch into our next topic of conversation, and it's going to be a hot one. We sort of talked about it twice before and it wasn't such a big deal then, but it's growing. It's like a fungus or a carcinoma. It's getting bigger and bigger. Monkeypox. Yes, we're going to delve into that murky world of monkeypox in the next hour. But before we do, Grant Shapps, or to give him his full title, the one he calls himself, not the one I would give him, the Right Honourable Grant Shapps MP, has said today that train drivers already earn almost £60,000 a year, but clearly that's not enough for them, who have called for more rail strikes designed to hurt people they claim to stand for. He's actually said this, and who on average earn far less money. That sounds like a politician to me, not a train driver. Substitute politician in for train driver and you have Grant Shapps himself. He's a two-faced weasel. And by the way, if you do some digging into him, he has at least three aliases. Yes, he has three different names that he goes by, depending on who he's hobnobbing with to further his nefarious ends. Grant Shapps is a rat through and through. I make no apologies for saying that. And Grant, if you're listening in and you don't like it, contact my lawyer, who is Mike Ryan at TNT Radio. And yeah, we'll take it to court and we'll see you in court. No problem about that. That's Grant Shapps. EU members, the Telegraph is reporting today that EU members have agreed to cut their gas consumption by 15%. The cut has been forced upon member states effectively to bail out Germany. And Germany are suffering at the minute because of their proximity to Russia and the ongoing sanctions, etc. So if we were still in the EU, this agreement would have involved Britain also. But it doesn't. So that's a little bit of a bullet that's been dodged in that way. Lastly, Mexico City. Check this out. We're always talking about mass immigration and asylum seekers and this, that, and the other. Mexico City is being flooded by Americans. Yes, Americans, including legions of remote workers drawn by cheaper rents. They're transforming classic neighborhoods, the housing market, and even racial dynamics. More and more locals are asking them to please go home. So I'm not going to lie, I have actually bandied about the idea of moving to Mexico myself. There's a writer called Richard Nichols, who's a Brit, who moved out there 15 years ago, and he was on the show and he said, "Hey, Rick, you might want to come out and live here. It's fantastic." And you know what? I was giving it thought, because all I need is my laptop and my microphone and I can go and live anywhere I like. So I was pondering Mexico, but apparently the natives aren't too happy with the influx of Americans who are ruining their culture and diluting their neighborhoods. So they're up in arms about that. So mass immigration to America. Listen, if you don't like where you are right now, you might want to give America, or not America, Mexico a look in. And one of our presenters, Hrvoje Moric, who I think is a Croatian, he's currently shacked up in Mexico, living the life of Riley. But anyway, enough about Mexico. One last thing to throw in before we get onto the monkeypox subject is, don't miss out on anything concerning TNT Radio. be sure to download the TNT Radio app from either the App Store, Apple App Store, or Google Play, so you can easily listen live to us anywhere, anytime. That includes in the bathroom, in the garden, sitting on the kitchen table, lying in your bed, or visiting some spurious place that maybe you shouldn't be visiting. But anyway, you can listen live to TNT Radio anytime, anywhere, available right now to download, keeping you up to speed on TNT Radio.
News as it happens.
I feel more informed when I listen.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, thankfully, I'm joined by the kind of reserved and measured gentleman that is Dr. Kevin Corbett for his third appearance on TNT Radio today. I'm a little bit hyper today, Kevin. I hope you don't mind. I'm like, it's like I've taken some substance I shouldn't have taken, but I can assure you I haven't. This is just me. I'm just amped up and I'm glad to see you again. How are you, my friend?
I'm very good. Nice to hear you and thanks for having me back on.
Pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. And I do mean that for any listeners that aren't aware of who you are, just in a real nutshell, Dr. Kevin Corbett qualified as a registered nurse way back in the mists of time in 1986. He worked on the UK's first HIV/AIDS ward at Middlesex Hospital, London, back in 87. He's done postgraduate research on respiratory patients, King's College London, got a master's degree, he's got a PhD, he's got extensive experience, 40 odd years plus. All you need to know, listeners, is he knows what he's talking about. So that's why we have him on the show. And we want to talk monkeypox, sadly. I'd love to talk to you about your life and retirement and the weather and maybe fine wine, but we're not going to do that today, are we? We're going to talk about monkeypox.
Well, what a subject. So I think the major issue with this is people have got to look at it, you know, in the round. The major issue with this is that we're told there's this monkeypox virus. When specialists and critical scientists go and look at the original papers from the 1950s that say that this virus has been isolated and purified, they find that these papers don't actually say that. And the controlled experiments haven't been done. The validity of the tests that they're using now, like 70 years later, the PCR tests haven't been established. This is all the issues that are wrong with virology. And this is what's come out in the last 2 years with COVID and SARS-CoV-2. And these issues have been around from the 1980s with HIV. And they've been well rehearsed by biomedical scientists like the Perth group of scientists in Western Australia from the 1980s onwards. That what we're looking at here is not a viral phenomenon. It's cellular stress, it's oxidative stress that produces phenomena that have been interpreted as viral within the human cells for all sorts of reasons to do with the biotech industry, the medical industrial complex, the marketing and patenting of tests, antivirals, and quaxines, as I call them, as Christine Massey calls them in Canada, the so-called COVID injections. But this has been happening for a long time. So this is the essential issue that people need to address when they're hearing Tedros and Lewis from the World Health Organization a few days ago making this announcement about, you know, this so-called virus that is now so-called infecting people. The other thing that people need to look at is the language and the concepts behind the epidemiology. So I've just been talking about the virology of the so-called monkeypox, which is basically skewed. The experiments are not controlled. The validity is just not there. But there's also the epidemiology here that's to blame. And what the epidemiologists are doing, Rick, with monkeypox is they're doing something called case finding. So they're accessing patient groups, for example, in the National Health Service, the same in the US, who regularly attend clinics. who are having treatment for chronic diseases, and they're doing PCR tests on them, especially if they're worried about skin lesions or blemishes or whatever. I mean, who isn't worried about their presentation mm-hmm. these days? Because we live in a very consumerist environment where how you look is everything. So the most minor skin blemish, people are very sensitive about. And of course, with the media hype around monkeypox and skin lesions, everybody's looking, everybody's hypervigilant. They've been made so through the media. And of course, these groups of patients attending NHS clinics are being misled here into being too hypervigilant about their bodies. And the groups that they're testing again and again are the gay men who are HIV positive attending the sexual health clinics, because those are the patient groups that are well medicalized. They're well into the orthodox medical treatment process. They're not unhappy about having test after test after test. I mean, if you're HIV positive in the UK, you will be having a PCR test about every 6 months, maybe more often. You'll be having something called a viral load test. And so throwing another monkeypox PCR into that menu of tests doesn't really bother patients, you know. But they're being used to fuel this epidemic. And the issue is with people who have got chronic, are in chronic disease management prescriptions and pathways, they'll be exhibiting cellular oxidative stress just in line with the Perth Group's theory of oxidative stress in HIV and AIDS. And it'll be those genetic phenomena that will be picked up on the PCR tests, which are not viral. These genetic phenomena are not viral. They're very much based in the human organism, but they're being manipulated, these patients, into thinking that these are viral phenomena that are being picked up and that they indeed have a monkeypox virus. And this has been happening now for a long time. The public health authorities in the UK, the UK Health Security Agency, have been developing their own polymerase chain reaction test. But they can't expand this testing very quickly because they're testing limited groups of patients. The tests are not routine through every hospital and every GP service because of the cost and because of the type of assay, the type of the test they've got. They've got to control it and they've got to run it through what they call confirmatory centers in the US, in the UK. And therefore, they are over-testing small populations of patients, basically like squeezing the bag of data to get as much as they can out of it to basically fan and enlarge this epidemic epidemiologically as much as they can. It's a bit like trying to get a forest fire going from some wet logs, and you light it and you fan it and you blow on it, and eventually the embers take hold, they produce a flame, and then if you're lucky, you can get it to take on other bits of stick and other logs. You know, I've done a lot of camping and working outside over the years where I've had to do this in the rain sometimes. But this is just my analogy, really, my metaphor of what's happening. And this is what they're doing, and you know, they're trying to crank it up. And it's the machinery isn't really going along with the policy, because you can see that from Tedros and Lewis's statement at the WHO the other day, that, you know, even amongst the WHO executive, there's a lot of them not behind this. The voting was very split, but, you know, they've got this machinery to create epidemics now. It's very well instituted since the COVID era, and they're quick starting it. They're cranking it up, trying to generate epidemic after epidemic, and monkeypox is the latest one. And, of course, you know, the cynics or the realists or the pragmatists would say this is because they've got stocks of injections that they want to shift. They've got stocks of antivirals that they want to shift, and they've got passive, willing, compliant patients who are attending clinics for other reasons that are really like a captive market that they can do the testing on. So I would say to the patients directly, I would say to them, and I've talked in the last few weeks, Rick, to a lot of men that have been diagnosed with this so-called condition. A lot of gay men have approached me. They've discussed their cases with me openly. They know there's something wrong with this because they're being pushed into it. And a lot of them know they haven't had the COVID injections. They're not that stupid. They're very aware. And I don't mean to say that people who've had the COVID injection are stupid. But what I mean is that these patients are very savvy. They know that they've been herded along in a particular direction and they're not going along with it. So they are very, very aware of what's happening. And what they're telling me is they're showing me their symptoms. They're showing me photographs of their lesions. And I've looked at a lot of these in the last couple of weeks. There's no uniformity to them. The case histories are all different. There'd be people that are worried about boils and, you know, cuts on their skin. And then they've tested positive on the monkeypox PCR. It just doesn't make sense. There is no uniformity to the case presentation, no uniformity to the lesions. And what they're doing is they've got a PCR that they're developing. There's no diagnostic validity to it because there is no isolated purified agent upon which to calculate that diagnostic validity. And they're going ahead with this just like they did with SARS-CoV-2, just like we said in the Cormann-Drosten review report, there's no diagnostic validity, no virus, in silico model virus with SARS-CoV-2. Similarly with the monkeypox, they're saying they have the virus. Where is the virus? Where is the purified agent? And why can't microbiologists in the NHS tell me that they can do the diagnostic validity on the PCR? I've spoken to several microbiologists in the last couple of weeks. Of course, I have to be confidential about this because they're working in NHS, and they tell me the same story. There is no purified viral isolate, nothing purified, no viral agent that they have. Other than something in a gene bank that they can do any validity check on the diagnostics. So this is, again, the biotech industry coming in. You know, our NHS, our health services have become basically an appendix to the WHO fear-based, contagion fear-based infrastructure that is creating epidemic after epidemic after epidemic to move the products into the marketplace, the tests, the antivirals, the so-called vaccines, and down the throats, literally into the populations that they want to medicate and to inject. And, you know, I think a lot of this is coming out now in the last 2 years. People can look on the alternative media sites, like the Telegram channels. They can follow Dr. Cowan, Dr. Kaufman, Dr. Sam and Mark Bailey in New Zealand. All this science is being exposed and deconstructed. Mike Stone's website, virology.com. All of these specialists, all of these citizen scientists are bringing this information directly to the public. And this is the way that we will shortcut what the Tedros and what the Department of Health in the UK and the CDC in America are trying to do. We will shortcut it by going directly to the public and seed information directly to the public so that they can see what the mainstream public health authorities are telling them are not just incorrect factually and scientifically, but are actually a tissue of lies, a tissue of lies that they're telling the public.
Okay, there's three things in what you've just said that jumped out to me. All right, there's three things, and I'm going to pitch them. I'm going to try and summarize them a little bit and refer to the previous two conversations that we have had. So you mentioned seeding, number one, But you mentioned it in terms of we'll be doing the seeding this time in terms of trying to educate people as to what is actually up with this rather than them being fed what the government have been trying to seed into their heads, which is what we actually talked about the first time you came on the show. So this is going back 2 months to around about May, I think it was, that you first came on. And at that point, the concept, this concept of monkeypox and how it spread and why we should be aware, that was seeded into our heads back in May. And when I say into our heads, I'm talking about the general population here. It's a new thing to talk about. It's a new thing to think about. It's a new thing to worry about and be fearful of. So that was seeded into our heads. And then to counter that, this time round, I believe we can't pull any punches, Kevin. We have to be brutal in our countering to the misinformation that they're trying to seed into people's heads about this faux virus that's spreading around, and certain groups are being demonized and othered because of it, as we have also discussed in our last chat. Second thing you brought up was to do with a revised PCR test. So it's really the return of the PCR test is something that we need to be conscious of as well. These things have not gone away either, and they are again a nasty, invasive, discomforting, psychologically damaging test, I believe, that have no place in the diagnosis because there has been no isolated examples of monkeypox to measure it against. So that's something that's flawed as well. And as well as that, the World Health Organization, for their sins, have been saying this week, and I'm just quoting some of the things that they've been coming out with, the now infamous WHO is calling on big tech to shut down misinformation about monkeypox. So, they're supposed to be a health organization. Why are they getting involved in big tech censorship of smaller platforms or individuals that are speaking out against this? Because if you were a mug or a clown, or I was a mug and a clown, the best thing to do would just be to let you talk. Just let me talk. Mm. Let me make a fool of myself. Let me come out with so much factually incorrect information that I could be torn apart and ammunition would be used to fire back against me. But instead, people like yourself are silenced or demonized or painted with the conspiratorial hat, which of course is not the case based on your own personal experience. But that is something that Tedros is calling for. And in addition to that, I'm just looking at some of these headlines here. Yes, again, this is yesterday reported on by CNBC. The World Health Organization recommends gay and bisexual men to limit sexual partners to reduce the spread of monkeypox. And again, we talked about this last time. What about the heteros? Did they not go out on the lash? Do they not go out and sleep around? Do they not have multiple sexual partners? What are they at?
Now, listen, let's just look at what Tedros and his colleague, Dr. Lewis, said at the WHO announcement. It was all over Twitter, all over the media. I think it was last week or, about 5 or 6 days ago, the end of last week. They said, and Dr. Lewis said this because I transcribed it verbatim, word for word. Mm-hmm. What she said was this, that after the COVID travel restrictions were lifted, this monkeypox virus was able to move more freely. That's what she said, as people started moving around the world more. And this virus then moved, and she said this verbatim, word for word, I'm saying exactly what she said. She said it moved through families, she used the word families, and into gay men. And this is just crazy epidemiology. It's science fiction, this. And so we have this image in the popular imagination of this virus moving across the globe in the ether, somehow is making a beeline straight for gay men. Absolutely crazy science. This is so unscientific. It's unbelievable. But this is exactly what the epidemiologists did with AIDS and HIV in the 1980s. It always ends with the group you want to vilify, the group you want to make sacrificial lambs of. And what best to do that with the public imaginary around sex and sexual behavior, you know, let's go for the sexual psyche. Let's destroy people's sexuality. Let's point the finger at the ones that are doing this to us, the ones that are infected, the ones that are dangerous. Who better to do it to than gay men, homosexuals? Hitler did this in the 1930s. He did it with the gays, the homosexuals. He did it with the Jews in the 1930s. Now, we're in a more politically correct era. So if you look at the way that Dr. Lewis and Tedros spoke, they picked their words very clearly. She couldn't even speak about the sex very easily in the pub, in the press forum that she was in. She found it very difficult to. Now, I've worked in health services, sexual health services and genital urinary clinics for years when I was a lecturer and a nurse. And all healthcare professionals should be able to talk to patients about sex very freely. And she's a medical doctor, we're told, and she couldn't even talk about it in front of the cameras. And basically what they're doing is they're using the public imaginary about gay sex, the prohibition of talking about sex, to push the notion that this group, as opposed to another group, are to blame for what's happening. And they did this with AIDS. They've done it with other things. It's totally transparent. People are not going to buy this. There's no such thing as a virus, even, really, when we start looking at the papers. So how could there possibly be a gay virus that goes straight to the gay body? I mean, and also what was very spurious and very discriminatory about her language and Tedros's language is that they assume that gay men don't live in families, that we don't have children, we don't have mothers, that we're just sexual objects that engage sexually with people. This is what's wrong with the whole way that the epidemiologists have produced risk groups and gay groups and heterosexual groups. This is all a melting pot. You know, you go out into any big city at a weekend night and you see young people, older people socializing in groups, in bars, in clubs. There's a fantastic amount of partner change, sexual activity that happens in the population, whatever people's sexual orientation is. So to focus down on one group as opposed to another and say that this group's hypersexual and this group isn't, and it's this group where all the monkeypox and all the disease is totally spurious scientifically and totally dangerous. And we should not buy into this. And the reasons why they want to shut down media like yours, mediums like TNT, is because at the end of the day, people have a right to turn to their doctors and to turn to the public health authorities and say, we're not buying into this model. We're going to walk away from you and we're not having your injections, your drugs, your treatments, and we're going to do our own thing. We're going to look elsewhere for our health information. And this is the danger, you see, that they see in, they call it disinformation, but in fact, what we're doing is we're producing conduits, pipelines of information to the public that bypass the mainstream. And this is exactly what they don't like. So they will vilify people like me. They will try and shut down platforms like yours. And it's just impossible to do that because they won't do it
because thankfully we're independent and we're not reliant upon state backing and you know, big pharma or big tech backing us. So that's why we can have conversations like this. We're going to take a quick news break, and when we come back, I want to look at this psychological aspect of this so-called monkeypox disease that's being seeded into people's heads, because to me that was always the most sinister part of this, was not so much the disease itself, but the othering of the men who sleep with men, not even gay men who sleep with men categories, and now they've branched it out into bisexuals as well, and obviously left the heteros to the side. But anyway, we'll get into that in a little bit more detail when we come back after the news here on TNT Radio.
With a quick check of the day's headlines, I'm Darren Metzer. Despite the West's best efforts to cripple Russia's economy with its sanctions, the International Monetary Fund says they're proving to have the opposite effect. Russia has accused Ukraine of airdropping banned landmines onto streets in the capital of the Donetsk People's Republic. And the United States says it's made a substantial offer to Russia to secure the release of its citizens Brittany Griner and Paul Whelan.
For all the latest community events, rallies, marches, festivals, and fundraisers happening near you, visit the What's On Events calendar on the TNT Radio website at tntradio.live. Stay in touch on TNT Radio.
Okay, we're back with that little sweeper ended very abruptly there, and it caught me off the hoof as I was shuffling through my list of printed papers from the first time that I spoke with this gentleman, Dr. Kevin Corbett, about this very issue, going back to May, 22nd of May, and I'll read you out the headline. Belgium begins monkeypox quarantines. Biden warns everyone should be concerned. Infections were linked to a festival in the port city of Antwerp, according to the Daily Mail, which, of course, then they went on to say that it was some pride festival or it was a gay festival, and that's the origin of monkeypox in Europe. And because of that, people are into quarantine, and Biden tells us we need to be afraid. It sort of caught a little traction, took a little bit of a step back. People thought this is going to blow over. I don't think it's going to blow over. I think they're just revving the engine up, as it were, with this one, because they're now declaring it as an emergency. They're telling us there's 18,000 cases out there, let alone the 6 million people on the NHS waiting list. That's the real emergency. And of course, we have the PCR rebranding and repackaging. We have the vaccine that is being given to people. America are telling us that they are proud that they have more monkeypox vaccines than any other nations on earth combined. So they're obviously well stocked up in this. Kevin, to use a food analogy, I heard a joke once, okay, just to lighten things up a little bit, because this is a little bit intense. Okay, so a guy went to a Mexican restaurant once, and he ordered an enchilada or whatever they are. Okay. And the guy brought him out a fajita. And he said, I didn't order a fajita. I ordered an enchilada. And all he did, he took the tortilla and he folded it a different way. And he said, there you go. There's your enchilada. Are they not effectively taking the SARS-CoV-2 model and just folding it around, flipping it up on its head and saying, hey, this is a new product for you to consume. But effectively, it's just the same old, same old. Is that a fair analogy?
It is a fair analogy. And, you know, the Belgian headline about the festivals and this is basically what is called a harangue. And that's a very interesting word, an harangue. It's a public dressing down, a public indictment of gay men as the cause of whatever. This is what they're doing. They're indicting a group as the cause of something. And it's a public harangue they're doing. Let's look at the festivals. You know, we've just had the Glastonbury Festival. And I've never been to Glastonbury because I'm just, you know, not of the generation that went to these things. But I know a lot of people who do go. And it's awash with alcohol, drugs, and sex. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's there for the grabs, you know. People even talk about it, you know. And why isn't the UK Health Security Agency doing testing of people who've been to Glastonbury this year, who've been camping out in fields, who've been partying, having party drugs, having alcohol, having all sorts of so-called risky behaviors? No, they're not doing that, because it wouldn't be acceptable to do that. It wouldn't be allowed to. But they get away with it with the gay community. Why do they do that? Because they assume through the AIDS statistics, because they've colonized these groups before and they've been used to fuel the AIDS epidemic, and they're using, in the same way, gay men attending sexual health clinics in the UK to fuel the PCR testing for monkeypox. Mm-hmm. And that's why, that's the only reason why the number of gay men appearing in the statistics is higher than the heterosexuals, right? Why isn't the heterosexual monkeypox? They have the same sort of physical intimacy, you know, We all have the same physical intimacy. When you look at it from an intimate contact perspective, physically, yeah, there isn't much difference, if any. And people who work in GUM, genital urinary medical clinics, sexual health clinics, we've appreciated this for years and years and years. Humans are humans. Sexual intimacy really, are on a granular or you know, whatever level, isn't that different. But if you want to make a difference out of it, if you want to discriminate, you want to be prejudiced, there's mileage in that. And this is exactly what they're doing here. Yeah. They're playing into the public imaginary about deviant sex, deviant sexuality. You know, what about, you know, just go into any telephone booth in London and you could see all the deviant heterosexuality on display, you know, Madam X who will perform for you at low cost or whatever. You know, they're not going down that route. It's always gay men. Gay men have the finger pointed at them. You know, this comes from the, you know, social, cultural, religious prohibitions that we should have worked through a long time ago. But it just shows how clearly embedded these prohibitions still are in our society. You know, that they can be used by public health.
Let me throw something in here. And this is something that I'm struggling to get my head around, okay? Because I can't get my head around this zoning in on gay men when you're coming off the back of what I can see around me as being an increased awareness of Pride Month, for example. For the month of June, you had the Pride flags, you had the marches, et cetera, et cetera. And that's not the point that I'm making. The point that I'm making is there seems to be a government drive towards rights and acceptability and inclusiveness on one hand. Okay, on one hand, you have the whole Pride thing where they're promoting and supporting it. But then on the other hand, you have this othering and this haranguing and this finger pointing directly at gay men. So for me, I just can't make that connection there where they seem to be very pushing the rights and the acceptance and of gays on one hand, but then on the other hand, they're effectively going on the attack. And I'm sorry, but it's othering. It's like setting you up to be some kind of Untermenschen as it would have been back in Germany in the 1930s. The psychology of this is obviously very deep, Kevin. And for me, the first thing about the whole monkeypox thing is the thing that disturbed me most about it was this zoning in, this othering and this finger pointing is what I will say. It's a little bit sinister, if you don't mind me saying so.
Well, this contradiction, on the one hand, inclusivity, bringing people into the mainstream. Mm-hmm. This is what happened, remember, with civil partnership, gay marriage. Mm-hmm. It was normalizing the abnormal. That's how, really, that's the language that they didn't want to use. But they were normalizing the abnormal in the public image. You know, look at the way that Cameron brought in gay marriage. He overrode the Conservative Party's antagonism against it. And he said this is going to happen. Blair had done it to some extent with civil partnership. Mm-hmm. And as you're brought into the mainstream, you're being normalized. And part of that is that group that's being normalized, it's making them accept the orthodox approach to whatever. So they're medicalized, they're injected, they're tested. This is very interesting. It's almost like we're being used as a sort of set of lab rats. You know, we're being used as a sort of test community for the epidemics, the false epidemics. From the 1980s onwards, you saw this with gay men. During the 1980s, when they did this, they funded groups of gay men as lobby groups for the pharmaceutical companies. They did it with the group ACT UP in the States. This has been well researched. They became spokespeople for the pharmaceutical lobbies that were marketing antivirals like AZT. So they were campaigning for greater release of these drugs. And this is what is very, very interesting about this whole approach now. On the one hand, saying that we're normal like everybody else. On the other hand, treating us intensively for medical interventions, testing, mm-hmm. treatment, injecting, whatever. I think that underneath this so-called benevolence is a malevolence. Case of Nazi Germany, if you look at the time in the 30s, what Hitler's government was saying was they were doing this for the good of the Jews themselves. They were ostracizing them. They were
putting them in ghettos. Them in ghettos.
They'll be better like that. They'll get better treatment if they're sectioned off from the rest of the Volk, the rest of the population. And this is exactly what they're doing here. They're creating sort of sub-ghettos, really. Mm-hmm. You know, the reality is, look, we're all human. We all have sex. As you say, we all go on the lash at times. When you get to my age, the opportunities for that tend to evaporate a bit. But, you know, the reality is that there's not much difference at a granular level or even when you pan back and you look at it overall. We all want love, affection. We all live in families. We all, to greater or lesser extent, have childcare responsibilities. We all exist in a human framework that isn't that much different. And to section people out because of their sexual orientation is as stupid and unscientific and ignorant as sectioning people off because they've got red hair, blue eyes, left-handed, or they walk this way, or they walk that way, mm-hmm. or whatever. All these demographic characteristics. This is what is vicious about epidemiology. Epidemiology is really a Nazi science, very much. If virology is, certainly epidemiology is, because epidemiology is about fixing and focusing obsessionally on biological or social characteristics of people and using those to mark them out and to quarantine them from the rest of society. And I think this is what's happened with this focus on people's sexual orientation or what they do in bed. I mean, why is anal sex any more risky than vaginal sex? How many women have ulcerated vaginas because of their sexual activity? How many gay men have this? And to say that anal sex is even more riskier than vaginal sex really doesn't stack up on one level, on the level that they're using it for in terms of visible lesions. How many women have vaginal candidiasis that make them have ulcers in their vagina or in the perineal region? So common. This is what is so spurious about this. Look, why don't we focus on how many sexual partners that people with blue eyes have and use that as a way of quarantining
or gingers.
Blondes have more fun, we're told. So let's use that demographic as a way of quarantining. So anyone who's blonde, a female, you know, has a great figure and has blue eyes, let's look at their numbers of sexual partners and let's start saying that they're high risk group for partner change. That is how ridiculous this is. And it only works when people buy into it, when people buy into the othering of one group being deviant as opposed to another group being normal. And the sociologists need to stand up to the mark here and to come out over this, because they're being very quiet here. And a lot of scientists who know better are being very stupid with the public health data at the moment. A good example of this is Professor Roger Watson, the ex-professor of nursing at the University of Hull, yesterday published a very, very pernicious article in Toby Young's Lockdown Skeptics, Daily Skeptics column, basically pinpointing gay sex and believing in what the UK public health authorities are saying about gay sex as a high transmission route for monkeypox. And we know this isn't the case. So why are these scientists with their biochemistry PhDs not deconstructing this fundamentally? It doesn't take much brains to do it, but they're buying into the government mantra and the government data, and they're taking it as face value. How can any scientist now, after the last 2 years, take any pronouncement from the public authorities as factual? after what we've lived through in the last 2 years. No diktat from the Department of Health should be taken at face value. No number, no statistic coming out of the UK Health Security Agency should be believed at face value until it's gone through a proper critical fact-checking. And unfortunately, PhD biochemistry people like Roger Watson, and he's not alone, are doing this left and right with monkeypox. They're buying it at face value when they should be shredding it, deconstructing it for the public, and telling the public the truth.
I'm laughing here as you're talking, and I'll tell you why I'm laughing, okay? I love your passion. I love the way you're talking. And I get the feeling, I might be wrong about this, you need to get this off your chest today because you're speaking very passionately and you're speaking very animatedly about it. And the reason why I'm laughing, I'm sorry to say, we've got to take a quick break. And when we come back for the last 10 minutes, bang, I'm going to let you run this right up to the close and you can say whatever the hell you like, because what you're saying is bang on and it concurs with my line of thinking as well. And this stuff needs to be said because it's not enough to tippy toe around the issue and to treat it with cotton wool. We need to call it out for what it is. So when we come back after this very brief ad break, Dr. Kevin Corbett will lead us up to the finish line and hopefully over the finish line at the end of the show. Don't go away. This is TNT Radio, keeping it real. Don't go away.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
I'm back here in my office right now preparing winter outlooks for our clients. It's July, you say. What are you looking at winter for? Because we are already seeing similar patterns to 2010. That's right. We're taking a look at what we call the Indian Ocean Dipole. It's cold. We have a La Nina going. We saw that happen in 2010. But the evidence is really in the Western Pacific, where both years, 2010 and this year, have had a lack of typhoon activity. And that is very important as far as clues go to what the weather is up to and where it is going. And in the wake of the very hot United States summer and the very hot summer that we're having in Europe now, when it's all said and done, a sudden turn to colder and a quick onslaught of winter would certainly have repercussions as far as energy goes. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT Radio, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
Messages for Shana, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is TNT Radio, where you meet the entire menagerie of mankind.
And some who haven't yet been cataloged.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, we're going to wrap this one up today. It's been a bit of a monkeypox special, and for many reasons. Kevin was talking about the fact that we need to be active in seeding the truth into the general population's head about what this is, about the very, very spurious psychology behind it, the othering of gay men or men who sleep with men, if the NHS is to be quoted on that one. The approach to this, the fact that it's been called an emergency, a worldwide health emergency. There are now drive-through clinics. There's something has popped up on my news feed to say that drive-through monkeypox vaccinations clinics are now starting in Westchester County in America. There are men lining up to take their jabs, and I don't mean it in a disparaging way, they're kind of going for low-hanging fruit, which is men that would be going for regular PCR testing, as you said earlier, and they're susceptible to being told, okay, you don't want to go down this route and you don't want to this. And sadly, they're preying on people's fears, as they have done, and also at the same time, they're painting up the scenario that there are the bad guys out there, which is gay men, which of course is not the case. We're all the bad guys, let's be honest, who can throw stones in this day and age and say, I'm a better person or a worse person than you. We can't be judgmental that way. So that's why we're in this mess that we're in. give me your predictions in 6 minutes, please, or less, if it's up to you. What trajectory can you see this going on, Kevin, given your experiences working with AIDS back in the 80s, your experiences with people that are coming to you now with concerns and saying, should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? What trajectory can you see this going on for the remainder of this year and possibly into next year? Could it be the next COVID scamdemic, or will it fizzle out if we push hard enough against it?
I think it'd be very difficult then to get to the hysteria levels that they did with COVID, because the way that they're not able to expand the testing in the way they'd like to. But what they're doing is playing the other repertoire that they've got with this that they didn't have with COVID is the sexual repertoire, the sexual strings that they can pull, the public imaginary around sex, that gay sex is somehow, the mechanics of gay sex is somehow essentially different from heterosexual sex. And you've only got to look at what Dr. Tedros and Dr. Lewis said last week and look at it critically to find that this is a total lie. Why aren't the government funding public health to go out to the dogging sites across the UK? And I don't mean to shock any of your listeners here, but dogging is a form of public sex. It's been well researched by the sociologists. Heterosex, public sex. Not gay sex. So people go and they look at things voyeuristically. They get sexual pleasure from this. I'm not making any judgments over it. I'm just describing what has been happening for a long time. There are even websites people can look at to find where their local dogging site is. So why aren't these people being targeted by public health? Because there's multiple partner change happening in those environments hugely. Oh, no. They're heterosexual, so they're essentially safe. They're essentially normal. We don't want to do that, public health says, because we have got to do the PCR tests in patient groups that are more compliant, more subservient, more medicalized than others. And what group to do that with than HIV positive patients who attend clinics every couple of months for viral load tests, PCR tests, and who are caught in this system of having highly toxic metabolic drugs that have multiple impact on their skin, their liver, their kidneys, their cardiovascular system. All of these things could explain easily the so-called skin lesions that are being implicated and we're told that are monkeypox symptoms. So I would say this is what we need to do, is to tell the public, think of this across the board. Don't think of it in terms of groups like heterosexual, homosexual. Think of it in terms of behaviors. Why are some behaviors being targeted and not others? Why is this behavior more risky than others? And you'll find no answer to that except subjective prejudice, discrimination. These are the precepts. These are the principles of epidemiology and virology today. They start with quarantine. They start with othering. They start with saying this group is worse than that group. This group is a risk group. This group isn't. And all of it is basically a scientific nonsense when you look at it. Epidemiologists have said this for years. Peter Skrabanek in the 1980s and 1990s published whole books on this as an epidemiologist, criticizing, deconstructing the building of risk groups for treatments and tests. But unfortunately, the biotech industry, the medical industrial complex has got behind this. The so-called genetic identification of viruses is only a way of marketing tests and antivirals and injections for public consumption. And you can see this, the Westchester media announcement you just mentioned, people lining up for tests and injections. This is where it's going to lead. But the trajectory will go onto a downward spiral with this, just as it has with COVID. And you can see this with COVID now. People have gone for 1, 2, 3 injections and are not going for any more because they've been ill or because they've read something about it that they weren't told of. They haven't had informed consent. And this is, you'll see a similar trajectory with monkeypox as COVID, as AIDS, as all these things. Let's hope that we can reach more people before they get entrapped in this whole nightmare public health infrastructure that is basically about creating fear and about locking people away. And these patients with monkeypox, so-called, have been told to stay at home and not mix with other people. And this is totally, utterly damaging to people's psyche and to people's physical, spiritual and mental profiles. And there's no science to this at all. And I'm hoping we've come up, this will deconstruct.
Yeah, we've come up the time. Something tells me if we had another hour on the show, you could easily continue, and so could I, because this is something that I believe needs to be addressed. Hence the reason why I wanted to get you back on today, if not today, next week. But what we'll do is we'll keep this under review and we'll see how this develops over the next few weeks or a month, and then we can get you back for another assessment from your perspective, maybe within the next 3 or 4 weeks or something like that. Yes. Dr. Kevin Corbett, thank you very much, as always, for taking the time and speaking so fluently and so frankly and so directly about this issue and giving us your insights. I'm Rick Munn. That was Jeff. That was Dr. Kevin Corbett. This is TNT Radio. Someone fantastic will be along after the news. Don't go away. I'll be back tomorrow. Love and kisses to all. Bye-bye.